to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. A lot of news, obviously, coming out of Berea today as the Browns have announced that they have released running back Ben Tate, the veteran who was brought here to be the starter. He was brought here to be the man, and obviously as the season has progressed, the team has become enamored and impressed with the young backs, Terrence West, the team's leading rusher, and of course Isaiah Crowell. Crowell, the team's leading in terms of yards per carry and rushing touchdowns on the season. Ben Tate was the third leading rusher on this team, and a strong statement was made. They basically, the Browns saying today that, you know, they must feel this is addition by subtraction. I know it is very important to Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine that everybody embodies the play like a Brown mantra, and the feeling of seems to be that they didn't think Ben Tate was embodying that, and they have sent a statement in that regard by releasing the veteran running back today. And Matt, before we get into it, you know, it just seems to be a very strong organizational statement about the way that they want things to be conducted here.
Absolutely right. And I think that, again, in decisions like this, they're not snap decisions. So something like this had to be a looming for a few weeks or even days. And also, too, I think even for me personally in life, and I'm sure in a lot of business decisions, what sometimes it comes down to is take out a piece of paper or a whiteboard and you draw out the pros and the cons associated with that decision. And I think in this case, when you look at Terrence West being the team's leading rusher, the explosiveness of Isaiah Crowell and what he brings to the table, they must be content with the personality of those two young players on who they can become, and then also, too, their production on the football field. So even though we from time to time talk about Isaiah Crowell putting the ball on the ground or both of them, you know, missing some of the assignments in the blocking or not maybe visually seeing the running lanes, there is enough value on them both now and also into the future that you cut ties. And that conversation that we've had now that seems like it's gone on all season, actually it has since that Steelers game when the emergence of the two young backs came out and played so well, there's no longer anything to talk about in regards to that three-headed monster and who's going to get the carries, who's going to get the starts, which something we talk about on a surface level on top of this entire team, that has to be a conversation in that running back room every single day, every single week. And also, too, I just think it's one of those things that, you know, the coach, Wilbert Montgomery, probably didn't want to have to make a decision on anymore, or something that Coach Pettine, when it came to Friday, didn't want to have to, you know, deliberate about anymore. And it's worth it for this football team to take the financial hit to get rid of someone like Ben Tate and what he has become for us most recently.
No question. And joining us now to discuss this further, we have a loaded show for you today. Lots of guests, and we're going to kick things off with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, obviously a strong and statement being made today by the Browns with the release of Ben Tate.
Yeah, it really is. Good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you.
You too.
It's a long way from marching out before the game and being one of the game captains on Sunday for Ben Tate.
Yes.
You know, he went out there before that game as one of the game day captains. But you could read this. I mean, body language really says an awful lot. And this guy was, you know, despite the fact that even post-game situation on Sunday after two carries and minus 9 yards, he was asked, "It doesn't seem like you're happy." And he said, "I am happy. I'm okay." Body language says much more sometimes than the spoken word. And you could tell he was not happy. And you could tell he has not been happy really through the bulk of the regular season. And, you know, even during training camp when so much was made of Terrence West at that time, and we didn't really know at that point what we had with Crowell, that Ben seemed to be very bothered by the fact that so much was being made of Terrence West. Now, I always thought that that's the way Ben Tate played. He played with this big chip on his shoulder of what happened at Auburn when they had running backs there, and certainly what happened with Arian Foster. And maybe that's what made him a pro, is that that drove him. But it was very real that he was very agitated at times. Didn't I even want to hear the mention of the name Terrence West, and certainly in the oncoming weeks, Isaiah Crowell. And it just wasn't a happy situation. So I think sometimes it's a good split when it's not happy like that. Not happy for him, and I'm sure not happy for this, you know, for the other guys that had to be around that position.
That's right, Jim. And I think, and again, I will say, you know, having spent my time with, you know, three different organizations and in some very similar situations, this is, some people might take this as a negative, but I think from a club standpoint and a future mindset of this football team, this is a very good thing, because what they've done is they've drawn a line in the sand, and that line is those that are buying in and playing like a Brown, and those are that are about themselves and are selfish, is not going to be a part of the plan both this year in making this snap decision, and then also two into the future as a part of being this a part of this Browns organization.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, guys, is that when Mike Pettine said yesterday in the press conference, the thing I like about the other young backs is, in regards to when people were saying, why aren't you giving Ben Tate more carries? And he said, I really like the other backs seem to have a little bit more pop. And that was the quote, more pop.
Yep.
And I really noticed it, guys, in the Cincinnati game, in that Thursday night game, when the Browns running game got going again, how quick to the line of scrimmage and how quick to the hole and the explosiveness, especially of Crowell. But West was, you know, right there with him in that. And how slow and what a difference it was, really remarkably different, when I would see Ben Tate get the ball and kind of try and do what he wanted to do with the play. So football-wise, I really noticed that. I can remember the day that Ben Tate signed with the Browns, and I ended up doing an interview with him that day in Berea. And even then, I just noticed a guy that was, you know, very, very, I wouldn't say stubborn, but he was very, very moody that day, even on a great day when he signed that contract. And I just thought all the while, well, this is the way this guy motivates himself. He's got his game face on every day, and he was still a little agitated about what had happened in Houston and how he played behind Arian Foster. But I thought that that was going to be a positive when he came here, and at times it was, but I think as the weeks go on here, it definitely isn't that kind of situation. And I really think it's a healthy separation right now.
It does seem like a healthy separation. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline to start off today's show. Ben Tate released by the Browns. And Jim, I think this is the kind of statement where a team says, listen, these are the kind of players we want. And Ray Farmer and Mike Penn have said all along, it's about changing the culture. And if you're not going to get in that ship with them and you're not going to be bought in, then you're going to be moved on from here in Cleveland. And I think that, you know, they value talent, obviously, but they also value the way you conduct yourself on the field, off the field, in the meeting rooms, and making sure that you are an asset to this organization in every way possible. And clearly the feeling was at some point the off-the-field stuff didn't match up with the on-the-field production enough to make sure that Ben Tate would stay here.
Yeah, you know, Nathan, the amazing thing is, I agree with everything you say there. I really do. I mean, there seemed to be a real disconnect between Ben Tate and what was going on offensively and specifically in the running game. But it's amazing if you go back, and it's the fourth preseason game against the Chicago Bears at the stadium, and it's the waning moments of that game. And when Isaiah Crowell got in late in that game and busted those runs and that long run that took him into the end zone, how everything changed at the time. Because I know we discussed this, it seemed as though the Browns at that time thought they might be able to sneak Crowell onto a practice squad. But once that visual happened of that burst and that speed and those great big plays, then everything had to change. He couldn't go on the practice squad or you were going to lose him. Now suddenly you got even more crowded in the backfield. And then as time went on, you know, it was just more and more visible that Crowell was really probably, you know, gaining ground and momentum to become the future back with the team. It really is amazing how that happened in that last preseason game. A throwaway game.
Yes.
A throwaway last 12 minutes of the game. And yet it really changed for Crowell, for West, but definitely for Ben Tate.
Yeah, and I believe it's such a great luxury to, again, to have, you know, youth at the running back position, because as you look around the league, even last night, and you know, LeGarrette Blount leaving the field early in a victory by the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got Marshawn Lynch, who now is, you know, kind of up at arms with the Seattle Seahawks and staying on the field during a halftime. And I think this is, again, as I asked you earlier, I think this is a statement by this club, by this organization. And this is, again, a billion-dollar business that no one player is bigger than the system. And in this case, with Ray Farmer taking the, you know, the ownership of bringing him here, and Mike Pettine and his mentality of what he expects of these players, no one player or ego, regardless of what you say or do, is bigger than the team.
Yeah. You know, guys, I do want to ask both of you this, though. Here's the thing, and you know, Sam Rutigliano, the great, you know, longtime coach of the Browns and a real soothsayer in football terms, always used to say to me, in regards to the quarterback position, if you have two quarterbacks or you have three quarterbacks, it means you don't have one quarterback.
Right.
Now, I want to just go to the running back spot here. At some point, do you think the Browns want to have a running back, a featured running back that's going to be the guy? Because last night, when I watched Le'Veon Bell and how he just, you know, picked up momentum and wore down the Titans and just had that kind of game, I mean, it was crippling to Tennessee, and it got to the point where they couldn't stop him. When I watch, you know, some of the great running backs, and Ben Tate certainly wanted to be that kind of guy that got that amount of carries, all of those running backs want to be in that role. Will we at some point settle down on one running back that is going to be the guy?
I think that's the hope, and I think that, you know, you've heard Kyle Shanahan kind of say that he hopes that he has one guy who can step up and carry the load for this team, and I think that's the hope, and ultimately, whether it's Crow or West, we're not sure, but I do think ultimately that's the hope, because you want a guy. You saw how Le'Veon Bell in that game, a perfect example, wore them down throughout the course of the game, realized what was working, got into his rhythm, got into a groove with his offensive lineman, because frankly, when you watch our backs, it is a different kind of blocking that you have to do for Crow versus West. The time at which they hit the hole is completely different. Crow much faster the hole than West. West more of shifty, dancing type of a back. So I think that it would help this team to have one guy that they can kind of go with and feature 20 times a game. Would you say the same, Matt?
I would say the same. And I think that, again, I think we picked the right two. Not saying West or Crow, well, we're going to go anywhere. But you know what? Even for me in my career, I was a part of some dual back. Some dual threats, but one guy, you know, one guy was the starter and one guy was going to get 18 plus carries. The other was going to be, you know, kind of the accessory to the running back. And I think the sooner that we can define those roles, when we find out who it is, you know, define it so these guys are comfortable within their roles. And just as we're seeing in the Cavs, you know, with a Deion Waiters, it's like until they grasp that role or understand, and it's been communicated what our expectations are of you, it's going to be very cloudy. And that's what happened with three and can still be with two. But we just have to figure out who that guy is going to be.
Yeah. You know, the other thing football-wise that is going to have to really be addressed now is that if Ben Tate had any role in the last 3 or 4 weeks, it was to come in and protect on third down in the backfield and do pass protection. And I know he was much more adept at it and certainly more experienced at it than the other two, but somebody's going to have to do that now. I mean, you know, Brian Hoyer's going to need somebody in there with him that's going to know where it's coming from and how to pick it up and then do it, because that's going to, if he did anything in the last couple of weeks, Ben Tate would come in there and help him out on third down.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. So according, these are Pro Football Focus stats, by the way. Ben Tate participated on 34 pass-blocking snaps this season. He allowed one sack, one hit, four hurries, six total pressures, and was actually the least efficient back in terms of pass protection for the Browns. Terrence West, 34 pass-blocking snaps, zero sacks, two hits, three hurries. And then Crow on 25 has only allowed one hit, zero hurries, zero sacks. So actually Crow has been, according to Pro Football Focus, by the way, he has been the most efficient pass blocker. So I think they do feel some comfort in these young backs. Remember, it was Terrence West, great blitz pickup on Levante David that allowed the game-winning touchdown to go to Taylor Gabriel. And Crow's gotten in there and mixed it up as well. So hopefully that will be able to be resolved. But certainly a very interesting start to this week. You get Josh Gordon back. You think that's going to be the big story, and it is. But then the Browns go out and release Ben Tate today. Jim, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking with you about this and much, much more as the week goes on here.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All Thanks, right. Jim, that too. Was Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to get a national perspective on the Browns move, what this means, how this is being viewed around the league. When John Clayton of ESPN joins us next with Zagura and Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.